Well, I'm not saying that. I'm saying this little story, though, probably just that.
Not a high school girl.
It actually is just not very well written, but
it's history, that's all. And history. Could you
tell me again where you were born?
Lower Peace Street.
Could you tell me a little bit about Lower Peace Street? Just in your own words. Or you might want to get into your story there.
I really don't know what to tell. I'll let you read that. I think you learn more that way than I can tell you.
What size was Lower Peace Street when you were?
Well, I'll tell you in the story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you say you were born in 1892. Okay. What you mentioned that you worked in a general store.
General merchandise. Mm-hmm. And lived things to think of. I remember my dad told me, he said, "Now you're not going to want to do this because remember you got to treat everybody the same." And he said, "Be sure now, when you're cutting goods and things for people, nice muslins and pretty dress goods, be sure to put your scissors back on the back of the can because somebody will take off."
Oh.
And he said, "You're not going to want to cut that side meat that we have to sell. You're not going to want to do that." I said, "Well, I'll try it." "Well, you're not going to want to pump up that gas, and you're not going to want to take up those nails in your hand." We had all that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had shoes. We had regular shoes, you know. We all had beautiful shoes that we sold. The highest price shoes were $3.50. And a rich man down there fussed like everything because he had to pay $1.25. A little pair of patent leather shoes for a little girl.
Is that right?
Yeah, she died now. She knew that because she lives in an $80,000 house and she built off some timber they bought from her daddy.
Oh. He was fussing about what he had to pay for the shoes.
Yeah, it took me. But my brother said, "Well, if you get a chance to sell medicine, I said, sell that. And then run and get your shoes and sell them because you make more profit off of the medicine." Do it now, don't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, drugs or something. That's the only thing.
How old were you when you were working in that store?
I had graduated in school. I was about 20, I guess.
How long did you work there?
Oh, I worked there for about 25 years. And then after they broke up the store, one of my brothers, after my mother died, my parents died, my mother died, one of my brothers moved away to Southeast Alabama. The other brother ran the store for a while, and his wife worked in the store, and I went to work up at the post office for my brother who had served in the First World War.
Yes, ma'am.
He had lost a lung in the First World War. He was postmaster there for 30 years, so I worked up there for 11 years.
In the post office?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
But I didn't work very long enough to make any money. I just worked, it was a little fourth class post office, and I worked about 2 hours in the post office for $1.10 an hour.
Mm.
And I don't get much for that. And the rest of the time, I kept a little store for him, you know.
I see.
And so he was the only person at that time that kept fancy candy and first class overalls and a few things in the store, but he kept first class things, you know. And so I learned Negro dialect, you know, because I was thrown in. Oh, I did think so much of all the blacks, you know. They were good to me, and I met one of the small men in the hospital. They're really, you know, good people.
Yes, ma'am.
Different from them.
Yes, ma'am.
Must I begin reading?
Go right ahead.
Colonel Robbins rode up to the gate by the carriage house, jumped off of old April Fool and threw his reins across the hitching post, calling to the yard boy, "Jimmy, rub him down good. We've had a hard ride from the plantation." Hurrying up the walk, he called to his wife, who was sitting in her big chair on the front porch.